Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For any Yankee fans looking for a podcast to listen to, I suggest you check out NYY Sports Talk.
Are you listening?
Tune into the fellas.
Damn.
There's no BS, there's no drama. Just feel like you with the fellas talking baseball.
Welcome back. This is episode 261 of the NYYST podcast. I'm your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And convalescing at home, SGR in spirit.
You know how my vocabulary has gotten better, but you reached my threshold with that word.
Dude, you convalescing, really?
I've never used it. I can kind of get a feel for what it means. But you definitely put me overboard there.
He's resting. He's getting better.
Resting.
He's healing with God.
He's healing with God.
No, he's not. Don't say that.
He's healing with... No, man. SGR had a serious fucking scare, dude. He was... Let me just... Without going into too much detail, I don't want to break any HIPAA laws, if that's how that works. But SGR was like... if he didn't get to the doctor when he did... With what was going on, could have been fucking dead right now, dude, and we wouldn't have a show, which is obviously top priority when it comes to his health. So,
yeah, but if you died, we'd continue to show.
Oh, 100%. You don't need me. You do need me, but you can find. I mean, podcast producers are expendable, especially with the new network and everything. You'd have plenty of people who can help you record and, get the show out. And that would be it.
But SGR did have a very serious health scare last week. He is doing much better. Resting, like we said, he's resting at home. We definitely want to, just shout out SGR. He'll be back in a few weeks whenever he's up for it.
I didn't even mention the show. I didn't want him to feel pressured to come on this week. He just needs rest. A couple yanks. Couple yanks during this recovery.
Maybe too many yanks.
Did he yank too hard?
Did he out yank himself?
Well, if you really think about it, maybe he was overcompensating for how little the Yankees yanked in the last few weeks. So he was really yanking a little aggressively and things got a little scary.
Yeah. So SGR, we know you're listening, man. Obviously we've talked to you many times in between, but publicly, we just want to say we get better, brother. The show needs you. We need you.
We need you. The fans need you. The listeners need you. And Coach Walter needs you.
Yeah, there's a lot to get to, even though there's nothing to get to because we haven't recorded in about 2 weeks because we went to every other week during the off season. Since then, the Yankees have done nothing, and now Major League Baseball is doing nothing. But we'll get to that in a quick moment. As Chris alluded to. The new network, we're recording, today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, today, I think so. And
yeah, man, whenever you're out a day, it screws up your entire week.
It fucks you up. But before you even go into anything with the network, we will have, I don't have a definite time, but keep your eyes peeled on our main account, NYY Sports Talk, at NYY Sports Talk. We will be retweeting some type of an announcement early afternoon on Saturday. We'll probably have more details Friday for you, but
I wasn't. That's what I was going to say. is please be on the lookout on December 11th, this coming Saturday, for the official announcement of the network, where we're going, who we're going to be with, and the future of the podcast.
I'm so fucking excited. We got a new fucking intro. It is sick. It just everything about this so far, I've never been more optimistic. If you're a fan of this show, I promise you this is the time to get anyone else on board and fucking just ride this wave with us. And please, if you're listening, if you're a first-time listener, you just started listening, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take 2 seconds, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Anything less, you can dock the gofouch yourself. And that's it, man. We need right now, we appreciate all the support we've gotten to this point. It's like extremely humbling. It's been an amazing ride. But right now, we need you more than ever because this shit's about to take off. And you're going to want to say that you were with us from the beginning. You were there. You're not a bandwagon. You were there.
You can hop on the bandwagon, but
there's plenty of room.
You'll never be the OG, but there's still room on the bus for you.
There's always room. It's a big bus. It's a huge fucking bus. And there's always room.
Because Guardy's got to take public transportation now.
True. He did sell. He officially sold the Brett Jet. I saw it on Facebook Marketplace.
Please go to patreon.com/NYYST, become a patron of the show. I promise you, before the clock strikes midnight into 2022, I will record a Patreon show. So
yeah, and also, as far as the Patreons are concerned, again, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up this show's ass right now, the platform we're entering, if everything goes according to plan, our platform's going to be much larger, with a lot more engagement, a lot more people tuning in. We want that intimate setting with our patrons, where we're going to start going live a lot with you, doing questions and answers and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to be a part of that now to gear up into 2022, like Christian said, go to patreon.com/NYYST.
There's a lockout in Major League Baseball. They could not come to an agreement last week. The players and the owners, and it's a shutdown right now,
which was expected.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are freaking out right now. Me personally, until it affects the Yankees getting the spring training, the Yankees playing spring training games, God forbid, the Yankees starting the season on time, I'm not worried about it because I think we have plenty of time. It's December 8th. I think we got plenty of time to get this shit resolved. And I'm not here to, I don't want to deep dive this thing because honestly, it bores me. I just want it fixed and over with and get back to what we like to talk about. People are like, how do you take, you can't take the owner's side. And you got to take the play. You know what? It's people that play a game for a living versus billionaires not being able to argue. And who's suffering? The fans are suffering. So,
yeah, I'll say this. Here's why I'm not worried about it. If we didn't have this whole COVID, pandemic these last couple of years, revenue was lost. Maybe I could see this thing going a little longer than needed, than necessary. I don't think either side wants this to affect the season. I don't think they'll allow it to. I really don't. Plus, you have too many big names left on the market that it's not good for anyone. And it's not about fucking taking sides. Look, everyone wants to say the owners are the bad guys. It's a business. I mean, it's a fucking business. And there's a lot of shit that needs to be worked out. I know this lockout was expected, but you got to put some blame on Manfred here. He has caused so much chaos in Major League Baseball that there's so many different things that need to be addressed that probably shouldn't have had to have been. And I blame him a little bit for this. I really do.
I mean, in the past, since we last recorded, I mean, there was a story that came out that he sent two different types of balls out this year.
And you can believe it because we've heard these stories in the past.
All right. How much fun was the field? I mean, the Yankees lost heartbreaking fashion, but how much fun was the Field of Dreams game?
It was amazing. Can I just say one thing? I don't want to cut off the show here. Can you just pull your cord to the to your left ear a little bit more? Yeah, that's good. Well, now you're good. Now you're good. I just did, I didn't want it to move away from your mouth. We're trying to do a little thing different, so it might sound a little different this week, but we'll be back on track. Okay, go. Field of Dreams, phenomenal. It was one of the best things they've ever done. I got to say that.
Why was it so much fun? Guys were killing tons of home runs, right?
Home runs, and it just the feel of it all was great.
But
yes, yeah, ball was flying 600 feet into the corn maze.
Did you not think that something was up in that game?
Oh, and we knew it. We said it from the beginning.
And then the report comes out that they would send the balls that would travel further to big time games. Didn't you feel like? In that 9/11 series with the Yankees and Mets, you know, some of it seemed to be a little bit more home runs there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's
like,
believable. It's very believable.
And here's what the problem is. You're in bed with gambling companies now. You can't compromise the integrity of the game because let's say the – just for hypothetical, you know, argument's sake, the over-under on a Tigers-Royals game is 5 runs. And you send dead balls to that game.
Yeah.
You want people to bet on this game, but you're changing the outcome of the game based on the equipment that you send there.
Plus you got to look
at it. That's a huge problem.
Listen, you got to look at it even further than that. And there's this one documentary. It's a docuseries. I think it's called Bad Sport. On Netflix. I told you to watch it. I watched the first episode. The other ones kind of bored me, but the first episode was really great. It was about, I think it was LSU basketball back in the 90s. And this kid, you know, he came from a poor family. He didn't have a lot of money. And he got the first whiff of like, hey, $20,000 to fix the game. And when you start doing shit like that, when you start incorporating different things where people can know too much, that causes, when you talk about the integrity of the game, that goes twofold when you're talking about sports betting now, because it goes to the game itself. And then you have people who, listen, Manfred is not the only one who knows that those balls are being juiced in that series. Who's to say that maybe the algorithm has a Yankees Tigers over under at 5 because that's set on the normal algorithm, but someone knows that the balls are juiced that weekend and they're going to take the fucking over. Why? What would stop them? Honestly, what would stop them without the transparency, adding those different levels of changing the game like that? And here's the worst part. And here's where Manfred is all to blame. As someone who's in charge of the league like that, You need to represent yourself and the league as someone who can be trusted. And from the beginning, he reeks of corruption. And you don't, we should hear this story. If we had a good commissioner in Major League Baseball, we should hear this story and say, absolutely not. That would never happen. But instead I could see it. Manfred would do it. I gave Bud Selig a lot of shit. And I think he did a lot of things wrong. He turned a blind eye to, you know, the steroid era, we all know that. But I can't see Bud Selig doing something like this, just compromising the game this way in a secretive and just, I don't know. I just can't put my finger on what word to describe it, but deceitful, I guess, would be the word. But I just don't see Bud Selig compromising the game in that sense.
Yeah. I was, like you said, dude, when you hear something like this, you should be like, no way. But no, it's completely plausible. And, you know, Manfred's leading the charge for the owners. And I don't know. Like I said, don't want to get too deep in the weeds into some of this stuff. You want to listen to a show that wants a deep dive into that. That's fine. That's not what we're going to do because we got a lot of stuff to cover regarding the Yankees. And that's way more interesting than me. Like I said, when I'm going to start bugging out about this, when I'm going to start getting mad about this is when you know, it's usually around Valentine's Day. Whenever that date rolls around and the Yankees aren't reporting to Tampa Bay or, you know, Tampa for spring training, that's when it's going to start bothering me. In 2 weeks from that time when they're supposed to be playing their first spring training game and they're not, that's going to start bothering me. God forbid March 30th when they're supposed to be in Texas opening the season and they're not, that's going to bother me. So you still have all this time to get this shit figured out, and you hope that they do. I will say this, what it does look like, just in one minor, I guess you want to call it a minor detail, but it's the one detail that seems that is going to end up coming out of this, is they're going to go to the expanded postseason, because it seems both sides want it.
I hate that, but without going into the specifics of everything, because like you said, we have enough to talk about. Here's the sad part about this show tonight. Here's the sad part. There's two different types of, I guess, two categories you can be in as a podcast host right now covering a Major League Baseball team, that you have enough content during a lockout to do a full show. And that's
We made it through a pandemic. So.
Yeah, well, look, there's two different types of podcasts that cover a team that can do that during a lockout. The first set would be a team that made big moves leading up to the lockout to talk about. And the second set would be a Yankees podcast who, for whatever reason, they just weren't even in the discussion. And for that reason alone, I think we have a full show of really good content to get to.
All right, let's start here, right? So we know that the Yankees, they told you this. These are words that came out of Brian Cashman's mouth.
Right.
I have flexibility to spend. We need a shortstop. Semien, Seager, off the board. Lockout hits. Story, Correa still available. All right, that's number one.
You want me to play number the audio? Two, I think I still have it.
No, it's fine.
Refresh audio?
Why
not? Let's just listen to it real quick. This is Cashman a few weeks before. I think it was a couple weeks before the season even went into the offseason.
That conversation about do I have a set budget? No, but do I feel some direction? Yes, and clearly it was mission accomplished from last year getting under the CBT. So,
is the direction up?
Well, it's going to have to be because we don't have a lot of stuff coming off. So obviously I think I have some latitude.
The old latitude comment.
So those are words that came out of Brian Cashman's mouth. We need a first baseman. Rizzo's still hanging around there. Now, this was all a pipe dream that from me. This is something I wanted the Yankees to do, to sit there and flex their muscles as to go out there and get Freddie Freeman. As we were approaching the lockout, you heard that there was real interest there from the Yankees to get Freddie Freeman and that the Braves wanted to go and trade for Matt Olson. So all three first base options are still out there. Mm-hmm. Aaron Hicks is 10th in OPS in the Dominican Winter League, or 14th or whatever the frig he is. Congratulations, you still suck. So the Yankees need a center fielder. I mean,
it looked like Hicks was going to have like a nice season, and then it just he just became Aaron Hicks again.
The Yankees tendered a contract to Gary Sanchez. I think that's no surprise to anybody. I mean, if you really thought the Yankees were going to let him go for nothing, you haven't paid attention at all.
They only do that with Clint Frazier.
Yeah. Which we talked, right? We talked about.
Yeah. But
so these are things that the Yankees haven't done yet. And on the other side of town, the Mets, they get their center fielder and Starlin Marte, which I really didn't. I know the Yankees liked him. They tried to trade for him last year. I mean, he's 33 years old. He's kind of on the back end of where I would want to acquire center fielder. So I know a lot of Yankee fans wanted him. It didn't bother me that much. The thing that bothered me now, and it was a major reaction on my part, I will admit to it, is that Max Scherzer is a New York Met. And he got 3 years, 100 and whatever, because he would get $43 million a year for 3 years. The problem is not that he's a Met. It's that the Yankees seemingly were never in the conversation. And there's several different ways that we need to discuss this. And I know there's anger on both of our parts that it didn't happen. because we said this, you know, going back to last year, like Scherzer was a guy even you could rent for the end of the year last year, that this is a guy that you'd want to pair with Gerrit Cole and make a playoff run with. And him being a free agent, yeah, even though, what is he, 37, 36, 37 mm-hmm. years old, this is still a guy that you think is going to still be near the top of a rotation type pitcher for the next couple of seasons. And when it all costs is money,
yeah,
is why weren't the Yankees involved in that? Now, I know a lot of fans want to just immediately run to the Yankees are cheap thing, but they, if you believe reports, and for the sake of the argument, let's believe them, the Yankees offered Justin Verlander $25 million to come in off of Tommy John surgery. So it's, I don't think that they don't have money to spend, because why would you offer that money to Verlander if you don't have money to spend?
Listen, can we, because there's so much to unpack, especially when it comes to the to Scherzer. Can we just very briefly touch on the contract, how they tendered Sanchez's contract real quick? Because I know a lot of people were up in arms about that. And just correct me if I'm wrong. You're better with this shit than I am. It doesn't, I'm not saying that he's not going to be a Yankee in 2022. I fully believe he will be. At this point, I think it's probably the best option, just to move forward with him until that contract expires. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they did that just because they definitely have plans for him here. It's just more of a, it's more of a strategic thing where you don't want him to just go for nothing. And if anything, you can, you at least have control over him. Correct?
Exactly. The Yankees have team control over him. They didn't agree on a number, so either they will or they'll go to arbitration. But the Yankees will have him under team control for 2022.
Which arbitration for Gary Sanchez's case with the Yankee, the leverage is, you know, the power is in the Yankees' hands in that sense. So it would be, I just want to get on the same page because I know a lot of fans were pissed about it. It would be, it would have been foolish, I think it's safe to say, for the Yankees to just let him go for nothing. Right? I mean, do you agree with that? It's not like they're investing in him in the future at this point. It's just more of, we don't know what the fuck we're going to do yet because catching isn't our top priority. And in the meantime, we need to make sure we at least have control over him moving forward.
Right. That's all it is to me.
Okay. So now Max Scherzer. Can I start by saying one thing? Max Scherzer is a very odd dude that I feel like has a lot of different, what the fuck, what is Creed doing? Is he, did you give him a doggy zanny?
No, he's literally, I told you, he found a bone under the couch that's old as he is. So he's going to be 3 in January. So he's eating a 3-year-old bone right now.
Would you let your daughter eat a 3-year-old piece of food or bone? So you're going to let your dog do it? Well, my dogs ate Play-Doh last week. So anyway, Max Scherzer seems like a very odd dude. It's come out, I think, in several different reports that he didn't want to leave the National League, which I also don't really understand. If he did, he would want to go to the West Coast. I don't know how much of that is true. Here's all I'm going to say. I'm not pissed off the Yankees didn't get him because it doesn't sound like he's someone who would have even, you know, entertained the idea. But the fact that the Yankees weren't even discussed is what bothers me. It's almost like Cashman was sleeping through all of this, and that's what bothers me.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily agree with that assessment because, you know, Cashman sleeps outside for charity every year. So every time something happened, people were like, oh, look what Cashman's doing, and they would post that picture. I don't necessarily think the guy's sleeping. I think he's doing his job.
Why isn't he in the talk? Why isn't the report that the Yankees swooped in, offered him more, and he declined because he doesn't want to go to the Yankees? That should be the report.
All right, so did the Yankees know that it was going to be at, even if the Yankees knew that it was going to be at that number, why not make a phone call?
Right.
If $43 million, look, dude, it's money and we're we're okay with the Yankees spending it because we just are. I mean, it is our money because I'm going to go and, you know, I support this team financially. So I feel like you can say this, but if you're Brian Cashman, if you're Hal Steinbrenner, if you don't want to justify paying a guy $43 million a year, because it's $43 million a year, it's absurd. It's absurd that a baseball player makes that amount of money. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why are you not picking up the phone to find that out for yourself though?
And saying,
all right, well, we're interested, but I mean, you know, we got to draw a line in the sand somewhere. We have other things to do, and we're not going to have that type of payroll.
Can I be honest with you? That story would have pissed me off more. That would have pissed me off more because we are at a point, and I tweeted this, and I didn't expect it to blow up the way it did. But we're at a point now where this team hasn't won in 12 years. We're at a point now where we rebuilt. We went through the motions, and we. Not only endured a rebuild, we endured a reset of the luxury tax, and then we had one of the most disappointing, given what the expectations were of this team last season, you can arguably say it's one of the most disappointing seasons of our lifetime. It really was. I mean, it was a fucking train wreck. It, to me, when you go into the offseason now, you reset the tax, you haven't won in 12 years, you have to make a list of the best free agents out there. And for what this team could use, you have to imagine Max Scherzer being at the top of that list, being at the top priority. And for me, being that they didn't make any other moves, money should have never been a factor. In a sense of, if they heard he was getting 43 a year, you offer 45 a year. Let him say no to you. Let him take less money because he doesn't want to play in the AL East. Let him say no. The fact that Brian Cashman was nowhere near the conversation. See, to me, if he called up, if the report was that he called up and he heard the money was too much and said no, I'd be more pissed than I am now. What would make me optimistic about moving forward is if I heard he offered more and Scherzer declined it. And if that happened, I think it's safe to say that if that happened, we would have heard about it.
No, I don't. The Yankees were not involved in this. And you know, Cashman is a very prideful guy, and maybe he's had enough of being told no by Max Scherzer.
Oh, well, you know, Cashman's done a few things this offseason so far that I've actually been encouraged that maybe he's putting his ego aside a little bit. But if that's the case, I mean, what a shitty job. And I got to say this, I'll tease it right now because I'll wait till we get to it. This isn't even, believe it or not, after really kind of dissecting everything thus far, isn't even the most disappointed I've been through this offseason so far. This wasn't the most disappointing thing for me so far this offseason.
I don't know what it would be.
When we get to it, I will explain what it is.
Because for me, the things that I want them to do are still on the table for them. So that's why I'm not completely disappointed.
Well, not really true. I mean, again, we talk about the hierarchies of players that are available in each position. When we make a list of the best available shortstops, it's Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, and then Trevor Story. And everything seems to be pointing towards Trevor Story, and everything seems to be pointing away from Carlos Correa and the Yankees being a fit. So I thought at least Corey Seager, and that's not a possibility anymore.
I did. Well,
I'm not a big Corey Seager guy because he hasn't stayed healthy either, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the more and more you look at Seager, I don't know if that would have been a good move for the Yankees, considering their health issues mm-hmm. that they've always seemed to have in adding another guy. But, you know, people that don't like Correa keep bringing up that he's got a back issue. So, I mean, I don't – and I could tell you from experience that backs are not fun to deal with when they're
You want to know why he has a back issue? From carrying his fucking team through World Series championships. And the reason why Corey Seager going – upsets me is because it just makes it so much easier for the Yankees to fall on Trevor Story. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying Trevor Story is not a great shortstop, but given the availability of Carlos Correa, telling me you're going to sign Trevor Story instead, it's just not going to excite me. I'm sorry.
Apparently the Yankees were in on Semien. They didn't want to go to the years that he got. That's something that I had read. I think he got, so it's seven. Did he get 6 or 7 years? Yankees
yeah,
were.
I think it was 7 years. But you know what? When Carlos Correa is still out there, again, I'm going to say it. When Carlos Correa is still out there, I'm not upset about that. I'm not.
The Yankees were looking for a shorter-term deal with Semien. And you know what? He got 7 years. He took it. See, here's the thing with Max Scherzer, right? From what I've read, couple days after the signing when he went to the Mets, is that Brian Cashman actually called Washington to try to acquire Scherzer at the deadline last year, and he was flat out told he will not play for the Yankees.
Right. And there's something in sales called twisting someone's arm. And when you're talking about a rental, there's not much incentive for Max Scherzer to be traded to the Yankees. And he can have that mentality of, I don't want to play there. But when you put a fucking check in front of him that's more than anyone else is offering, that changes some people's minds. And I'm not saying that Scherzer would have definitely taken it, but the fact that it wasn't even addressed or declined is what bothers me.
See, I would have liked them to put the check in front of him, to put the numbers in front of him, let him say no. But again, there's something that's not, I don't know how to properly explain this. There's something's not equaling up here.
Adding up.
Yeah, something's not adding up here. The Yankees have money to spend. You're not offering Justin Verlander. Sure, it's a one-year deal. Fine. You're not offering him $25 million to pitch for you next year if you don't have any money.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When it comes to, I understand the Yankees not wanting to be handcuffed with the years when it comes to Semien, but when we're talking about the money you're spending right now and the luxury tax and all that shit, the years after this one don't matter in that sense. So if Scherzer's only taking a 3-year deal, first of all, I don't care if he wants a 5-year deal right now. He's the guy you really need. And it's about the money for this year. And if that's the money you have to, that you haven't spent the dime, if you're telling me you can't afford to offer him 45 a year for 3 years, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, there's something, like I said, there's something that's not adding up here. It's like, that's why to me, I think this might even be like personal between Scherzer and Cashman.
It sounds that way. And that's upsetting in itself. I mean, fuck your personal bullshit.
And because apparently Scherzer didn't really give the Yankees much thought when he left Detroit to go to Washington.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's something. Look, and that was kind of my angle that you disagreed with, was that Scherzer's a quirky guy. And I'm not sitting here saying that the Yankees could have had him. And that's not, and again, that's why I'm not upset that he's not a Yankee in a grand sense. I'm just upset that regardless of anything that we don't know, that an offer wasn't put on the table for him to refuse. And that's what bothers me.
The problem is, you know what the real problem is that all you heard throughout the trade deadline last year, he won't come to New York, he's not coming to New York, he's not coming to New York. So you never really put it in your brain that he was a realistic option. And all of a sudden you hear, the Mets are real players for him.
Yeah, he's in New York.
The Mets are And it's Steve Cohen throwing fuck you money out there to get the guy that he wanted. And you're saying to yourself, why aren't the Yankees doing that? And if Max Scherzer turns down $130 million from the Yankees, then Max Scherzer's the asshole.
Right.
But right now, we don't even, as far as we know, the Yankees didn't even pick up the phone to talk to his agent and say, what would it take to get him here? And if the flat-out answer was nothing you can offer him will get him here, then fine. Then we can at least say Brian Cashman picked up the phone, made a phone call, and was told nothing you will do will get this guy here.
And again, it's safe to say, given how much people like to talk and leak shit, that if that conversation was had, even if the phone call was made, we'd know about it. The public would know about it.
My bigger issue than Max Scherzer is why Robbie Ray is not a Yankee.
Okay, so I just said before, he's actually not the most disappointed I am. Given the context now, I'm not a huge like Robbie Ray guy.
No, I think we explained it adequately in previous episodes why Robbie Ray made a lot of sense for this team. And I think his AAV was like $23 million a year, which, again, you're telling us when you played the clip earlier, you're offering Justin Verlander $25 million a year.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All signs are pointing to you that you do have money. Mm. Why are you passing on Robbie Ray then?
So if this is true, so like I said before, this wasn't the Scherzer was most upsetting.
It doesn't even sound like the Yankees were really that in on Robbie Ray.
Right.
Because they didn't have Clint Frazier to offer.
Yeah, right. But. Yeah. So here's my thing. Scherzer is my number one get when it comes to pitching, obviously. I mean, he would be anyone's. But when that goes off the table, again, you have to look at what it's going to take to build this team to be a World Series contender. And let's put the money aside for a second. The second Scherzer goes off the table, Christian, who is the next guy in line that you can add to this team by writing a paycheck to, that you can pair up with Gerrit Cole, that you can depend upon, and you'd be fairly confident coming off of a Cy Young year that he'd be a great addition to this rotation?
Right. I mean,
Robbie Ray. And then you add in the money. Then you add in the $23 million a year, right? And then you compare that to the reports of them offering Verlander $25 million. And nothing makes sense. That's why I keep using the phrase, it's like Cashman was asleep, because I can't wrap my head around the fact that he was not a part of any of this.
That's the bigger thing to me is why didn't they like Robbie Ray? What is it about Robbie Ray that they didn't like at that price tag too?
It's almost like Cashman and Hal were under the impression that until the agreements were made and if and when there was a lockout, that no one could be signed. And it's like they went to bed, shut off all their technology, and acted as if the world wasn't going on right now. And that's what bothers me. I don't understand it one bit.
But I don't think that's the case either. I don't think that they were.
So do it. So be Brian Cashman for a minute. It's too bad we don't have SGR. Be Brian Cashman for a minute. What is going through your head? Why are you not so involved? You don't, when Robbie Ray is available, Scherzer's off the table. What are you doing instead of calling his agent and figuring out what it's going to take to get him here? What are you doing? If I'm wrong in a sense of that they are just asleep at the wheel here, then what's happening? Is he getting inside reports that, like, I don't know, Robbie Ray's a fucking junkie and he shouldn't bring him over to New York that we don't know about?
I don't know. Look, maybe he's a steroid guy, bro.
Look, maybe he
looked pretty jacked in that uniform.
Who was it that was, he was a free agent and a team signed him and it was like, oh, thank God. Either the Yankees didn't get him or someone, because all these like fucking reports came out and incriminated him on everything. I forget who it was. It might have been that douchebag college football player. What was his name? The Johnny Manziel. When like teams didn't, right? Johnny Manziel.
How does that have to do with the Yankees?
No. I'm just talking about in an athletic sense. Like people were so upset that their team didn't get him, but then all this news came out the second he was drafted that he is a piece of shit and now he's no one. And it's like, maybe they have inside scoop on Robbie Ray. Maybe he fucking, I don't know. That's the only, again, I'm just trying to make sense of how the Yankees weren't even involved in talks for him when he's signing for $23 million a year. I can't understand that.
That's the one. I'm six behind right now. We got to close that gap.
I'm six behind him.
We got to close. Remember that tweet that I quoted?
Oh, yeah. You're only six behind now?
My tweet is, My tweet is six behind.
The old Clint Frazier tweet?
Yeah. For some reason, like, I want to surpass his tweet.
Well, let's give it some context real quick. Some asshole tweeted. Who was that guy? Who is he, like, in the sports world?
He says that his bylines is that he writes about the Giants for USA Today.
The San Francisco Giants? Or the New York Giants? No, the
football Giants.
So this guy tweets comparing Clint Frazier to Nick Swisher, how the Cubs are coming to town and, you know, will Frazier get an ovation, so on and so forth. And Christian points out, what was it? Swisher fucking won a World Series here, first of all. He had more home runs in 2009 than Clint Frazier has had in his entire career. You can't compare those two. And listen, I'm not someone sitting here saying Nick Swisher is the greatest player on earth. He was a guy who was an above average baseball player who fit in really well here and won a championship.
Do you want to know the two a greater difference between Frazier and Swisher is? Nick Swisher became a Yankee, exceeded expectations right. of what he was as a baseball player. Clint Frazier got here and completely just destroyed whatever expectations anybody right. had for him.
And when you think of like a Yankee that just fits, you think of a selfless guy who's here to be a good clubhouse guy, again, selfless, would do anything for the team and just wants to win. Clint Frazier never showed us any of that.
Remember the old Bubba Crosby is my center fielder, and then they went out and signed John Damon?
Yeah.
Do you remember? They acquired Swisher, and he was supposed to be the first baseman, and they're like, all right, we'll go get Mark Teixeira.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, listen.
I love Swish. He's one of my favorite players.
Me too.
Short time here, but he ingrained himself to the fan base. Like
You'll never forget him.
He had the Swisher salute out in right field. Dude, look, I would talk about it all the time. Like, How I Met Your Mother is probably my favorite sitcom of all time. And the Perfect Week episode is a really good episode.
Great episode.
But I say it's my favorite just because he's in it.
And his wife, right?
And he doesn't even remember. She was in the episode like 2 weeks prior. Ah. The Girl Next Door episode. But anyway, he barely said anything in it, but it was just like coming off of a World Series. Like, Here's Nick Swisher on your favorite TV show, you know? If I saw Clint, I don't even have a favorite TV show right now, but I'm just saying, like, if it was something that I watched and Clint Frazier was on it, I'm like, fuck this. I'm not watching this shit.
Seriously.
Fuck this.
And not to go too deep in on this, but I texted this to you and SGR. Listen, I'm not sitting here saying the Yankees didn't treat Clint like shit. But his actions warranted a lot of what was going on. And then he tweets out, I'm not going to get into it, but if anyone saw it on Twitter, he tweeted something out like he was glad also he's not a Yankee anymore. And it just proved that he never changed. That he's always going to be the same kid who's just toxic. And hey, I wish him nothing but the best in Chicago. I'm sure he'll flourish. I'm sure things will happen. But you know what? You're a weak, worthless player then for us if you couldn't get through all that and fucking shine here. Then we don't want you.
Look, all you need to know about Clint Frazier to put a bow on his time here is that you're 23 years old at the time, I think it was. You know, even though we kind of feel that maybe you were never given a real fair shake at it, When you get sent down, you don't take every last fucking minute to report. You're 23 years old. That just shows immaturity. Yeah. Like, you didn't have anything that you needed to do.
No.
Just get your ass to Scranton and go to work.
Yeah, and you know what it is? I think the fans have a certain connection to Clint Frazier, a lot of the younger fans, and even me, because I've never went through a rebuild before in my lifetime as a Yankee fan. Clint Frazier was the first guy you kind of would cling on to when you talk about, okay, we had to give up a huge piece of this team. Who did we get back? And it was the first time as a Yankee fan I was saying, okay, I got to look towards the future. Who's this guy they're replacing him with? And he was a big prospect. And he's someone you were rooting for because he was the first piece of this rebuild, really. And it just never fucking panned out.
All that aside, I do hope that he's healthy and can have a major league career, because some of the shit that he went through is scary. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. And the way Aaron Boone was even speaking of him, you never knew if the kid was even going to see the field again. But
but if you think I'm standing up when he comes back to Yankee Stadium to applaud him, you're just out of your mind.
You're out of your fucking mind. If I probably won't be at the Cubs series just because I don't really see the need to. But if it happens to be a day that I decide to go to Yankee Stadium and he's in the lineup that day, I'm going to treat him like I treat every other fucking visiting player that I don't give a shit about. I'm going to sit there and look up to see who's at bat and be like, all right, let's go get him. I'm not going to react at all to Clint Frazier.
Now that he's not a Yankee, I think it's fair to say I'm just truly indifferent towards him. I couldn't care less.
He's going to be like any other nondescript nobody that you couldn't give less of a shit about that is playing the Yankees.
And if he if he has a fucking MVP year, I don't want to hear Yankee fans fucking crying about how he didn't get a fair shot here and how we should have kept him. Because the kid had a fucking, as much as the Yankees dicked him around, he had his opportunities and he never fucking capitalized.
He was given the job to start the year and he was one of the worst players in baseball. So, I mean.
Well, there you have it.
It is what it is.
There's your bow.
All right, so we were talking about Robbie Wright.
Yeah, I mean, that's my most, that's the most disappointed I am, because it just, not only did it make so much sense, with Scherzer off the table, how do you not want to add that piece to this rotation? Now who else is out there that would be even close to Robbie Ray that solidified the rotation?
Not that I think he would have been Robbie Ray, but I was really hoping for a Tanaka reunion, but he decided that he wasn't going to opt out of his contract and stay in Japan.
I thought you were going to joke and say Stroman.
The fuck no. Where did he wind up?
I forget. I honestly, I hate the Cubs. That. Yeah, there you go.
The two of the most weakest mentally people to ever play in New York, and Frazier and
Stroman
are now fucking teammates in Chicago.
Perfect fit.
They're going to... Here's the funny part. I know I made the joke. I'm sure 100 other people made the joke. But Stroman broke his own news of signing with the Cubs on Twitter. It's just too bad nobody got a chance to see it because he blocks everybody.
Because he blocks everyone. I got to get blocked by him.
Just simply tag him and say Stro sucks. He'll block you.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna get a little more creative though. I want a response out of him first.
You won't get it. He responded.
He responded to me once, I think.
Oh, did he? What was I going to say?
Robbie Ray.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I really don't want to talk about Robbie Ray because we got off on the Frazier thing, and I forgot my whole.
Look, if
here's
you,
what I want.
I just no, want no, to say ahead. That if you want to put aside the you know. The words of anger and disappointment and everything else, I think we can all at least agree that we're just kind of baffled. Again, you're saying things don't add up. I just can't make sense of it. And that's my biggest problem.
How much different would you feel if Justin Verlander did say yes to the Yankees?
I gotta say, given the fact that Scherzer did end up in New York, given the fact that Robbie Ray took 23 a year, I'd probably still be upset that the Yankees allotted that money to a guy coming off Tommy John and that we don't know anything about right now. It wouldn't cancel out how I feel about these guys going.
But I think the perception around the Yankees would be a lot different had he had signed here.
In what way?
And that they spent a lot of money to bring in a marquee name.
But don't you think that it would just open the door for more criticism that the Yankees just kind of fucking were trigger happy and signed a guy in Verlander for that much money when they could have gotten Robbie Ray for a younger guy coming off Cy Young?
You and I don't like the deal because we're sick and tired of the Corey Klubers of the world, right?
Right.
But to the people that with their gifts and their memes and do something. Mm. How do you complain that the Yankees went and got Justin Verlander? You don't.
No, I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't complain. I'm just saying that I wouldn't sit here and be like, oh, well, you know, we got Verlander, so it's good. We, you know, it's okay but that we didn't get Scherzer and Ray.
But I don't think at that point, if you sign Verlander, you are even thinking about getting Scherzer or Ray, because where are you slotting them?
It just, again, I'm just going to say this one more time. Robbie Ray made too much sense.
Yes, Robbie Ray made way too much sense. He did. I agree with you 100% there. That's the one you're going, where were you?
Where were you? Where were you? And again, it's not even the final outcome that they're not Yankees. It's just, I'm just so baffled by it. And I get what you're saying with Verlander and stuff. You wouldn't expect it. But at the same time, the second Robbie Ray's contract comes out and he's getting less per year than Verlander, now that opens the door for me to criticize Cashman and say, what the fuck are you doing? Why are we giving that to Verlander when now we talked about it last year, replacing question marks with question marks. We can't have that anymore. Now we're not right, even doing right. that. Now we're not even doing that anymore.
Did we touch on that? That Corey, did it happen afterwards? Corey,
yeah, we didn't talk about Kluber.
Are you scared?
No, I definitely
did not give a
I definitely didn't want to see the Yankees do it. I think that Corey Kluber is still effective enough where he could be a thorn in the Yankees side.
You think he's going to miss 3 months of the year? Because I do.
I don't know, man. You know what? This is a great test to see if it's something going on in the Yankees organization where that we just can't keep guys fucking healthy.
You can't. You couldn't go down that road again.
No, you can't. You can't. And so things like that, moves like that, even if Corey Kluber pitches against the Yankees fucking five times this year and shuts us out every single game, I'm not going to sit here and say the Yankees made a mistake not signing him again. Because you just can't have it. You just can't have it.
All right. So I think we're in agreement here that Robbie Ray is really the one that you're like, you know, like what are you doing?
Robbie Ray's the if you're not going to do these other things, why are you not doing the one thing that makes the most sense?
What scares me is that, you know, Cashman for 1 year on Verlander said, yeah, maybe that's too good to pass up. What scares me is, does he look at his starting rotation and think that I don't really need help here? Because if he does,
I really hope not.
If he's saying that to himself, he needs, I mean, really, we know he's not going to get fired because he's Hal's, he's, you know.
Hal's his cuck.
Mm. Because if you look at that rotation, now, I don't think Gerrit Cole's a question mark. It's in my bio, no, bro.
He's not.
SMD Tour 2022. That's Gerrit Cole, bro. He's going to fuck shit up this year.
Yeah.
And can we please? And honestly, bro, you all know who I'm talking about. I don't need to say names. I'll throw the fucking shade. I don't care.
Do it.
The guy is fucking cooking an omelet, holding his kid. We have to fucking, we're going to fucking sit there and bow to him because of that. It's called being a fucking dad. You know how many times I hold my fucking kid and flip a fucking hamburger or cook a steak? Like, come on, bro. Yeah,
dude,
like,
and it's like, fucking Gerrit Cole. Like, Gerrit Cole's going to be one of the best dads. Gerrit Cole's going to do that better than anyone else. So like, why are we praising it?
I'm looking at that picture and I'm saying, this dude's just being a dad. This dude's being a dad.
He's being a dad. He's trying. And look, he's got to start pitching better if he wants to stay in his daughter's life. Because I'm telling you right now, Amy's going to kick his ass son. The fuck out. His son, sorry.
If anything, you should be like, Amy, it's okay. We don't need to see proof that Garrett's a good dad.
We know.
He's not going to. I mean, he might yell. I mean, a couple years down the road, you know, Caden, that's the kid's name. Caden might come home with an A-, and you'd be like, hey, why didn't you get an A+?
Gerrit Cole can't really yell, right? He, like, gets loud somewhat, but it never comes out as a yell.
But I love Gerrit Cole, bro. Like, I expect big fucking things out of him this year. And I'll say it again. You're probably sick and tired of hearing it. I think he's learned how to pitch the spider attack without it. I think really, and it's not an excuse, dude. I'm still fucking pissed at him for taking the ball in the wild card game, knowing he couldn't be Gerrit Cole. But if he's healthy, I don't worry about him.
Look, the whole wild card game is so it's such a difficult thing to have a definitive take on because
look at our king making omelets holding a shot. Shut the fuck up, dude. Seriously,
Gerrit Cole, that wild card game it's just something that.
And wait till Saturday, you'll be seeing just how well the show is doing.
Oh yeah, okay. Motherfuckers. Gerrit Cole taking the ball in that wild card game. For me to accept his apology, the apology has to be the SMD Tour 2022 that you keep talking about, and I will be over it. I am upset that he took the ball because there's something commendable about a guy who can play through injury and want that ball. But you also have to be smart enough to know when there's when you can't perform to the level that you need to, especially as a pitcher, and there's other guys out there that can. And again, if the Yankee starting pitching was very strong this year.
But here's the thing.
If it was Gerrit Cole and no one else, then I'd take a hurt Gerrit Cole who couldn't be 100% over anyone. And I still would, even with the rotation being what it is, but he wasn't even 80%, dude. He was about 70, maybe. Maybe.
No, not, I wouldn't even put it at that. I think he could have given you more if he was at 70%. I think pun intended, he was really hamstrung by this injury.
Yeah, and like you need to know that as a fierce competitor who wants to take the ball no matter what. You still have to have the awareness that you aren't the guy who's taking the ball, that you think is taking the ball. And I think he learned from that. I really do. And again, at the same time, to his defense, I don't know if I'd be okay with anyone else taking the ball and losing that game anyway, to be honest.
Here's the thing, right? We said it months ago. If the Yankees weren't in the position that they were, he goes on the IL. He gets 3-4 weeks off. He rests for the postseason.
Yep.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, I respect the hell out of the guy for saying, fuck you, I'm Gerrit Cole, I'm taking the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Also, I'm fucking pissed at him for saying, fuck you, I'm Gerrit Cole, because fuck you, Gerrit Cole, you weren't Gerrit Cole.
You weren't. Do you think that in these agreements, if we get to one and come out of the lockout, that the pitchers will have some type of an agreement where they can use some stuff, some
legal substance?
I think that is likely. I truly
believe that.
I think that is likely. I think it's only fair. I really do. You know, people think of it as cheating, but it's really something.
But here's the thing, dude. I don't fucking care. It doesn't bother me. Guys use spider tech. Guys use steroids. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Sorry. It doesn't.
Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, I need Gerrit Cole to be so fucking dominant this year that every time he takes that ball. There were too many times this year, and it became almost a normalcy to think, what is he going to give me today? And we can't have that with Gerrit Cole. We didn't have it in 2019, and we didn't have it for the first couple months of the 2020 season. But then it became too often.
Well, he wasn't here in 2019.
2020 season, and then I'm talking 2021 last year, the first couple months, he was lights out, and then... And then it became too much, too frequently we were saying, what Gerrit Cole are we going to get today? I can't have that in 2022.
You know what I want out of Gerrit Cole in 2022? When he gives up a second run in the game and I'm fucking stunned that it happened.
Yeah, it was too... There were how many times did we talk about it throughout the year? There were too many games that were crucial for the Yankees to win. And he came out there...
Yeah, there's a. The one immediately comes to mind is they were going for a sweep in Tampa that day game, and he gave up like fucking 8 runs,
and that was the game that you were expecting them to win, and the others were a toss up. They end up winning the other games, and then he comes out. That's the game. At that point, you always say you don't expect a sweep going into any series, but when you, what was it, a four game series, right?
No, three. Sorry.
When you win the first two and Garrett Cole's taking the ball for game three, that's when you expect the sweep.
Yeah, and I think he gave up four runs in the first inning, too. I mean, you're definitely not expecting that.
Yeah, there was just too many times where the Yankees needed him, and the game was over before the third inning. And as an ace, he knows this. You just can't have that. And I don't think we're going to see that in 2022. He's definitely not a question mark for me.
All right, so then that's what we'll get back on track here. Luis Severino.
I think the Yankees are very optimistic about Severino. I think everyone likes what they saw out of him when he came back, which is why we said it was very crucial the Yankees worked on him. Even when he had the setback going through rehab, it was crucial they didn't just shut him down. He came back. Not only is that crucial for his own confidence, but as an organization and as fans looking on, we have to be very optimistic about Severino, but still a question mark.
And no idea what you're going to get out of him.
No, because when's the last time the dude came anywhere near 200 innings?
2018?
Right. If that. I don't even know if they shut him down at some point.
I think he pitched a full season in 2018.
I'm pulling up his stats now, but I mean, how much, if you had to rate Severino on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most of a question mark you can think of and 1 being the least worried, where would you rank him right now?
Oh, 10 is the most worried?
10 would be the biggest of a question mark he could be.
6.5.
That's too high. Okay,
he hasn't pitched. He hasn't pitched in 4 years or whatever it's been.
So just listen to this. In 2017 and 2018, he was an all-star. He threw 193 and a third innings in 17, 191 and a third in 2018.
Which is fine. That's fine. I mean, you obviously want him over 200,
but he started 32 games in 18, 31 games in 17. 2.98 ERA in 17. 3.339 in 18, which is higher than you'd expect from an ace, but now he's not our ace anymore.
Yeah, but he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball the second half of the season in 2018.
He did fall apart a little bit.
How many innings did he throw in 2019? Now, just out of curiosity.
2019? Oh, boy. 2019. Tell me how many innings.
75.
12.
Jesus Christ, he was...
How many did he pitch in 2020?
Zero.
How many did he pitch in 2021?
Did he even throw 10 innings last year?
Six. Okay. So, I mean...
The guy has thrown 20 innings in 3 years.
It's wild. And again, I'm not saying that it's not at least a positive outlook that we can have. But again, we're talking about question marks, and we're talking about a team who needs to build to be a World Series team. That's a question mark.
All right. Jameson Taillon.
No. Automatic question mark by default. He's not even going to start the season.
Exactly. Jordan Montgomery. I think you can pencil Jordan Montgomery in for what Jordan Montgomery is. I think I love Monty as a back end of the rotation guy. I do.
Dude, you got to say this about Monty. Not only is he not a question mark, he's, as of right now, this is going to sound crazy with Garrett Cole leading the way. As of right now, given how last year ended, Jordan Montgomery is your most reliable guy in this rotation. That's scary. It's also something to feel good about because he's the back end guy. But who's been more reliable than Jordan Montgomery in this rotation?
You know, I've been getting into an argument with a couple of fans that Jordan Montgomery, because I say he's a four, like that's his max.
Easily.
He's like, four. No. He's like, no, he's at least a three. Here's what I always counter with. If you're relying on Jordan Montgomery to be any more than a four, you don't have a good starting rotation.
If I'll even go as far as to say, if you're relying on him to be anything more than a five, your rotation could be better.
But you're not going to find many fours as good as Jordan Montgomery.
Let me tell you something. Jordan Montgomery is going to go down as a guy, no matter what he does, as a guy who you never think of as being, you know, some great dependable pitcher in this rotation until his career is over and you look back on the big picture of work, because he doesn't have that blow away, you know, stuff where you're talking about him being some elite pitcher. He's a lefty that's crafty. He doesn't throw 100 miles an hour. But when you really look back on what Jordan Montgomery has done thus far, he's a guy that you don't want to get rid of. He's a guy you need at the back end of that rotation.
And speaking of the back end, I mean, Nestor Cortez, I mean, yeah, he was great, but the Yankees were very hesitant to let him go past the fifth inning. We've seen in 2019 how easily Cortez can lose it and be just a complete nobody. Remember, the Yankees DFA'd him after he was really good. People forget how great that the green opener Cortez bulk guy was, how good that was for the Yankees in 2019 until Nestor Cortez just fell to complete garbage. And, you know, when does the bloom wear off the rose? You know, when does Cinderella turn into a pumpkin with Nestor Cortez? I mean, can he be a more consistent version of be a more consistent pitcher? Possibly, but a guy that doesn't throw hard, a guy that's, you know, you want to talk about a crafty lefty. This is a guy that sits there and, you know, he stands still for 48 seconds. He does handstands. You know, he tries to hit a ball trick. He does everything he can to try to fool hitters because his stuff is not that good.
Yeah. And that's someone who's not going to pan out long term, even though right now Nestor Cortez does deserve a spot. If they don't get anyone else and Tyone's going to be hurt, is Herman still on this fucking team?
Forget about him too.
You know, if Herman's on this team, I'm not going to lie, because of how much more dependable Nestor Cortez was, I'd rather have Herman in the bullpen because I like him out of the bullpen and try and piggyback him with Cortez, a guy who throws harder, coming in after, you know, Cortez does his magic on the mound.
So, I mean, these names in this rotation
It's not a World Series. It's not a championship rotation.
That's why you put Robbie Ray in there and you're saying to yourself, okay, now things look a lot better.
Now, Sevy's my number three.
Now, I don't have to rely on Sevy. Exactly. I don't have to rely on Severino to be the guy I put behind Gerrit Cole.
So, let's just go back to Montgomery real quick. And let's put aside 2019 and 2020. Okay. 2020 was a shortened year. Came back at the end, right? He was injured, came back at the end. So
it's Tommy John, right?
Yeah. Let's look at 2017, 18, and 2021. Right. 17, 18, and 21. Sorry. Let's just go with his two full years, 2017 and 2021. What do you think his ERA was in 2017?
It was like 3.8 or something like that.
2017. I don't know why I can't fucking pull it up now.
Pull it up or pull it out?
Pull it out. Damn. Now, oh, here it is. 3.88.
Okay. That's what I said.
Now, 2021. Do you remember what his ERA was?
It was in that ballpark.
3.83. Yeah, his career ERA, 4.01. We're talking about a fucking 4-5 guy in your rotation who seems like his injuries are behind him. And he took the ball every fifth day. This is a guy you would die to put into your rotation at the back end. And he's really him and Cole right now. Here's the problem. You're going into a year where you absolutely need a fucking championship. And you're telling me Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery are your only two non-question marks in this rotation. Your ace and your 4-5 guy.
That's why Robbie Ray was the guy.
There you go. And just to add more context to why he made so much sense. The money's just the kicker. The $23 million a year is just the kicker. of why he made so much sense.
So for me, I know a lot of fans are really mad and disappointed, and I get it. I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't be, but for me, why I'm not there yet is because the things I really want them to do are still on the table. And we're going to end the show here with a couple polls that we ran during the course of the week here. The first one was about Carlos Correa. And he's still on the board, right? Mm-hmm. And him and Trevor Story are still on the board. I know that you're not going to be excited for Trevor Story. I wouldn't say I'd be excited for it, but they need to come away with Trevor Story. Like, that has to be the console. That has to be something that they at least come away with.
I'll go as far as to say this. Coming away with Trevor Story at this point is, to me, sounds crazy, equivalent to them just fucking saying, okay, this is all that's left, so we might as well just get him.
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's
dude.
Not in, no, dude, it's not. He's not. You're acting how like you, he's a wait, fucking how do bum,
you,
though.
How do you have Carlos Correa on the board, Corey Seager on the board, and you're telling me that a team that has a 1 in 12 years is going to go after the third best out of all of them? For what?
He's still a significant upgrade.
Because Cashman gets married to guys, and he can't turn away from... There's reports out there that the Yankees won't even spend as much to get a Trevor Story, let alone Carlos Correa.
They can't... They cannot enter the season with a stopgap shortstop. It can't happen, okay? Because if you're going to do that, let's say you go and sign some fucking bum like Andrelton Simmons... Just let Peraza take the fucking job.
At that point,
What's
the harm?
Exactly, because what are we really doing here? We're already being told that the kid's glove plays at the major league level. His bat needs to catch up. So fucking let his bat catch up. Andrelton Simmons couldn't fucking hit his way out of a wet paper bag. He sucks. He's terrible. I don't know the Yankees' obsession with him. And until he signs somewhere, it scares me that he's still out there, because it seems – but that's why the Yankees need to come away with at least Trevor Story. He's an all-star caliber player. He's a great hitter, great defender, great base runner. They need to do that. Yeah, Carlos Correa is better, the bigger, the sexier splash, the thing that you really would think would change the dynamic of this team. But you got to come away with fucking Trevor Story, dude. You have to.
I'm looking at Trevor Story's stats right now. I'm definitely underplaying. I guess, you know, his season last year wasn't like the most, you know, exciting.
You know, he was in a walk year on a bad team, you know, and it was, the trade, you know, those things affect guys.
Here's what I don't like. We always talk about being 100 points better than your batting average. He's never even really come close to doing that. I don't like that for this team, because for me right now, the best lineup for the Yankees are guys that at the very least can get on base a lot. Whereas Correa, I'm looking at his right now. He's usually close, but he has a much higher batting average. So, I don't know, man. I guess I'm just not being fair to Trevor Story, and it's more of, and I hate Carlos Correa. It pains me to fucking defend the guy. I hate his guts. But there's just something about it, and you put this in my head. The dude fucking wins. Every time you're watching a fucking Astros postseason highlight, it's Carlos Correa, or it's that other douchebag Altuve, but it's either one of the two, and I want one of those guys, man. I want one of those guys right now who doesn't give a fuck and just wins. I want that for this team. When's the last time this team has had that?
Probably since Roger Clemens was here.
No, I'm talking about a position player.
I don't fucking know. Gary Sheffield?
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know. To me, Carlos Correa is the get. And that sounds obvious to everyone, but... I guess to be fair, I can't be disappointed if they get Story, but I want Correa. I want Correa.
No, I do. I do too. But if I see when the lockout ends, the Yankees sign Trevor Story, I'm gonna be
what
like,
if the Yankees
right,
don't get either? What do you do?
We have a major fucking problem on our hands.
A big problem.
I need
problem.
To know why. I need to know why.
Yeah.
And I think I think you really got to call in a favor. You've had this sitting in your lap for 5 years. And if we don't get one of these two shortstops, you got to call that in.
Yeah. And we got to get Cashman on this show. The real Brian Cashman.
All right. So the poll was, do you want the Yankees to sign Carlos Correa to play shortstop? And there were four choices. 10% no, because Story's better. I don't know about that, but, 10% of people did vote that. 11% voted no because they're waiting for the kids. And let me just say this right now. I don't mean to offend anybody, because if you're listening to the show, I love you because you're supporting the show, but you're fucked up in the head if you're waiting. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? Have we not seen what waiting for prospects has done to this team?
Right, right. And we went over this. We went over this a couple ago.
And I know 5 minutes ago or whatever it was, I said, if you're going to sign Simmons, just give Praza the job. Yeah, if you're going to sign Andrelton fucking Simmons to play shortstop, yes, give Peraza the job. But not when Carlos Correa and Trevor Story are still out there. What do you like? I don't get that mentality, because what you're saying is, I don't care if we win in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm way past not, right. I'm way past not giving the Yankees passes on not winning. I'm way past that. You wanted to tell me that in 2016, 2017, even 2018, you get a pass for not winning? We're fucking 3 years past that now. It's time to cash in. And I'm not waiting for anybody. I'm sorry.
We talk about.
I don't care. I don't care if Anthony Volpe is Derek Jeter times two. I don't care if Jason Dominguez is Mickey Mantle times three. If I could trade these guys and put pieces on my team, even for one fucking year, to put the Yankees back into the World Series, I'm doing it. I'm that fucking short-sighted right now, because I'm sick and fucking tired of not being a legitimate World Series team.
The problem is, we went so many years, with having that short-sightedness, we were spoiled. We had so many good teams. And then we got a taste of what it felt like to plan for the future. And it's like too many fans are like clinging on to that and not realizing that things still need to come to fruition. And when you're rebuilding, when you're having process... when you're doing this, you're getting the prospects in, you're trading for guys, that needs to come to fruition at some point. You can't sit here and tell me now that you're still protecting any type of prospect when we have the evidence is out that not only have the Yankees failed at nurturing most of these prospects, but they also haven't won or come close to winning since they rebuilt. And like we said, it's been a regression. 2017, they were a game away, and it's gone backwards. You can't sit here and plan for the future anymore when you did that just so recently, and it just hasn't worked out. You have to do everything that it takes to say, this is it. You're getting to the end here. You need to capitalize on the 2022 season, especially when you have a guy in Gerrit Cole who's here for 10 years. And for the back end of that contract, he's not going to be your ace. No. You need to win now. You need to win now.
Well, the next choice was no, he's a cheater. 15% of fans voted for that. But overwhelmingly, 64% of fans did vote yes, because he's the best available shortstop. So that was good. I mean, people are kind of using their heads there.
Yeah.
Look... I said this and I say it again, I'm way over 2017. If I legitimately thought the Yankees didn't win the pennant because the Astros cheated, maybe I would feel different. But I watched the way they played in Houston. They couldn't hit for shit.
Yeah.
I think did they score even three? They might have scored three runs in four games in Houston.
I think I know the last two games, I think they scored 2 and 1, maybe.
I honestly think they were shut out in the final game.
Maybe they were. Maybe it was like 2-0 or 3-0. I'm going to look it up now. Let's see here. Okay, game one in Houston, they scored 1 run. Game two in Houston, they scored 1 run. Game six in Houston, they scored 1 run. And game seven in Houston, they scored 0 runs.
So they scored 3 runs in 4 games. So, again, tell me how Houston cheating cost the Yankees the ALCS. Unless you're going to tell me that their pitchers had some magic potion that they were using to keep the Yankees from scoring.
You want to talk about cheating? I mean, in the first two games in Houston, if they were cheating, they weren't doing too good. They weren't too good at it. They only scored 4 runs total. It was 2-1 in both of those games in Houston. When they came back, they had a big blowout game, game six, where you kind of just felt like that was it for the Yankees. They won 7-1. And then even in game seven, they put up 4 runs. If your offense is there, that's a winnable game.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you just got to get over it, dude. If he comes here, and I don't know, it was last week, whatever, people might have read a comment like, I'll boo him. Okay, well, boo him, dude. I mean, he if he's a Yankee, I mean.
Can I be honest with you?
What's that?
My hatred for Correa has literally nothing to do with the cheating scandal. As an organization as a whole, I put the cheating scandal, I don't think of the players, I just think of the organization as a whole. My hatred for Carlos Correa comes solely from his attitude. I don't like the things he says. I think that he is a guy who can definitely be adjusted and be a good clubhouse guy here. My hatred for him comes from just the now, when you want to talk about cheating and a guy like Alex Bregman, I might hate him a little for the cheating because of how fake his fucking apologies were and all that shit. Carlos Correa is just openly an asshole.
And yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck. But you know what? At least he's genuine about it. Alex Bregman's like, please, I'm sorry, feel bad for me. And then 2 days later, he's like, fuck you. Fuck you for booing me.
Let's read a couple comments on the Correa poll here. This is at Boo Sullivan _ absolutely age, skill set, statistics. He's the best all-around shortstop that is available. He's a natural villain, perfect for a fully operational Death Star.
Mm, I like
you. Our boy Ryan, stadium status. The Ooh. Whole idea of blocking a potential star by signing Correa is bullshit. If Volpe is can't miss, believe me, he'll find a spot in a lineup. Having too many great players and not enough position is a problem I take any day.
You know what, Ryan? And I'll even go as far as to say this to defend you on that. How many times has this team had a problem of having too many good players at positions, and then all of a sudden, with the blink of an eye, so many guys go down or so many guys don't pan out that now you're scrambling? I mean, it was just I'm old enough to remember a couple years ago when the Yankees had a surplus of outfielders, and now we can't even find one to play center field. So you know what? Your point, 100%. If Volpe or Peraza is good enough, even if Correa is here on a 10-year deal, they will make their way into this lineup.
We'll read one more here. This is from Kenny Farley. Career 277 hitter, never hit above 26 home runs or 100 runs batted in. Solid player, not giving him $300 million. You want to improve the offense, which should be a priority. You go with Freddie Freeman.
Kenny, golf out yourself, first of all. Second of all, I'll say you go after Freddie Freeman and Carlos Correa.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, you do.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And one more on. Let's read one more. Okay. Okay. The fans were so kind. So kind, fans. This is from Compact Sweetie. Yes, he's a solid, consistent player. Something his team has clearly lacked the past few seasons. Not only good at shortstop, he's a good hitter. It's a win-win with him.
Okay. All right. Do you think I'm a fucked up husband because I never wished my wife a happy anniversary on the show? Do you think that makes me a shitty husband? Is what I'm asking.
Your anniversary is like a fucking month ago.
I know, dude, but I forgot to fucking do it, and she's been giving me a lot of shit about it, and it's like I feel the tension, so I gotta say it. I gotta say it a month late.
Yeah, you know what I gotta say?
That I love her and happy anniversary.
Go fouch yourself,
doctor. Go fouch yourself. I only brought that up because I was gonna say something. Then doing this show, we've been recording for about an hour and 20 minutes. I've gotten, does your wife do this to you? I've gotten about 17 TikToks that she sent me to watch. Does your wife do that to you?
I'm on TikTok, but I don't use it.
No, you don't use it, but you abuse it. You scroll.
No.
You don't watch videos nonstop on the top. Mm,
I don't really know how to search for what I'm looking for.
Ryan uses it. SGR uses it.
You know, I'm fancy like Applebee's, bro. That's all I really know about TikTok right now. I
fucking hate that song. But I love my wife and happy anniversary, baby.
Because you're not bougie like Natty, bro.
I drink Natty. You want to pop a couple Natties?
No, not Natty Bo, Natty Ice.
I know, Natty Ice, but I drink Natty Bo.
Fucking headache the last time I drank Natty Ice.
What about the last time you drank Natty Bo? Did you drink that at my wedding?
I got fucking hammered off Natty Bo at your wedding.
Was any one of my groomsmen sober at my wedding? One of my groomsmen had to go home early. He didn't even know where he was.
I tell you, it almost got to that point when we got to the venue, when we were getting ready to go out for the reception. I had to sit there and really contemplate life at that
point. Well, I got to say, if we're going to talk about my anniversary, we'll talk about my wedding for a second. Watching my wedding video, your entrance, like when they announce all the groomsmen and the bridesmaids and whatnot, your entrance is by far my favorite. Do you remember what you did?
I have no clue.
You came out and I don't know what wrestler it is, but you came out and you just pulled the jacket open and you were like, fuck you, I'm here. Like, whatever you did, you just pulled the jacket open and gave him one of these with the arms wide open.
I was drunk.
It was great. It was a great moment. I'll send you a screenshot of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we can go down this rabbit hole forever, but we should get to the first base poll here. Of the players that I listed in this poll, what is your preference for the Yankees in 2022 to be the first baseman? 4% of people are complete morons. Sorry if you feel this way. They voted for Luke Voit.
How many people voted total?
524.
And how many voted for him?
4%.
That means 21 people voted for Luke Voit. How?
21 people. Do you think it was 21 slips of the finger?
I really do. I have to believe that. I have to give the fans more credit than that.
All right. Anthony Rizzo finished at third with 16%. Freddie Freeman was 33%. And then Matt Olson won the poll at 47%.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to knock Matt Olson. I think he's a phenomenal player. But we talk about this all the time where, you know, Rizzo just fit like a glove here in his short time here. I have to imagine Freddie Freeman would multiply that tenfold. He's a Yankee. I need him. If he's available, I need him.
And this is, as I said earlier in the show, like this was my be the Yankee, say fuck you moment and go and get Freddie Freeman. Like I didn't think there was anything really to that because again, we really never thought he was going to leave Atlanta. And then you started hearing these reports as the lockout was getting close that there was smoke there between the Yankees and Freeman and that the A's in Atlanta were going to make a deal or were talking about potentially making a deal for Matt Olson. And this has been my stance the whole time. Go spend the fucking money on position players because they're available. Save your chips to get starting pitching. Well,
can I just say this? You can also look at it in this sense. Where the Yankees stand right now, we just talked about it, you don't sacrifice getting good players at the expense of your future, right? Because your prospects are nothing right now. However, when there's options out there who are better or just as good that you can buy with money and still preserve the future or preserve those pieces for something else that you need, you do it. You do it every day. You wake up and you do it. And if Freddie Freeman is truly available, that makes 10 times more sense than going out and getting Matt Olson. I'm sorry.
I loved Rizzo. I really did. And I said it when he got here. I said, I hope his stay is more than just a cameo. But honestly, you said you'll be disappointed if the Yankees do wind up with Story. I'm going to be disappointed if Anthony Rizzo's the first baseman in 2022.
I got to say, I disagree with you there. I will be disappointed if they if Freeman was truly available and Matt Olson was truly available, which it sounds like they are, and Rizzo was more of a just safe, here it is contract, then I'll be disappointed. But I won't be disappointed in the player because I think Rizzo still makes this team a much better team. If the Yankees are doing it to either cheap out or just for a security blanket because they know what they're going to get out of Rizzo, then I'm not okay with it.
I see. I'd be disappointed because I just value Freddie Freeman so much, that much higher. And I think Olson has that much more potential than Rizzo at this point in his career. What cannot happen, and Brian Cashman should literally be put in a fucking saw trap. Pick one from any of the 9 fucking Saw movies, the most gruesome, painful one imaginable, if Luke Voigt is the fucking starting first baseman. 100%.
Listen, any dude who plays wiffle ball with his 4-year-old son and lets his son pitch to him and he just fucking smashes it so far that his kid's crying is a guy I want on my team. And Freddie Freeman is that guy. Did you ever see that video?
Yeah, I've seen it.
That's the guy I want on this team. And, you know, if the Yankees end up with Rizzo, I'm absolutely not going to be upset. But like you said, if Luke Voigt is penciled in as the starting first baseman, it will be the first time I truly question why I root for this team anymore. I will truly question it because that just can't happen.
And to the Luke Voigt fans out there,
my wife,
that always want to say, oh, he gets, why is he so disrespected? All he comes and he does is he hit ... when healthy. The guy is fucking, he's injury plagued. He is. Okay.
No more when healthies. I can't have any more when healthies when there's other guys out there.
And you want to say that I always gave Aaron Judge a pass? That's fine. I'm not being hypocritical though, because in this sense, when Aaron Judge is healthy and on the field, like he was this past season, is Aaron Judge a top 10 player in Major League Baseball?
Absolutely.
When Luke Voigt is healthy and on the field, is he a top 50 player in Major League Baseball?
Top 50, maybe. Top 30, top 30 pushing it. Listen, Luke Voigt is the guy who is ranked 49th and walks around telling people he's a top 50 guy in baseball. Okay? That's fair, because he's right on the brink.
But I would really have to deep dive that. I don't think he cracks the top 50.
Maybe during the COVID season he does.
Okay.
Overall, big picture, no.
He was a top 20 player in the COVID season. Big long-term career, no. I definitely not.
Yeah, I agree.
And here's the biggest thing about Luke Voigt, why he can't be the first baseman this year. He's not a fucking first baseman.
Yeah, and he's not a lefty. I want a lefty over there. That's it. In the lineup.
And here's another thing that I value so much more from Freeman than Olson. What did Freddie Freeman just do?
I believe, and I'll check on ESPN, on my ESPN app or on Google, but I believe he just won a World Series.
And how many players on the Yankees currently have done that?
Again, I'll have to Google it, but I believe 0.
Okay, so that's another check for Freddie Freeman, just like it's a check for Carlos Correa, is you're going to put guys in this clubhouse that have won.
And people downplay that. That goes a long fucking way, dude.
It's not 0 because Chapman is still here.
And whatever, he's got that, he doesn't fucking Cubs count. But let me just say one thing.
But it's a very, very, very minuscule number. You know, it might only be Chapman.
You know how we talked about guys being hungry and how Gerrit Cole was right at the brink of being a world champion, and he didn't get it. Though that's all fine and dandy when you're talking about an ace who's going to come here and lead the way. But when now you're talking about putting guys behind him and building a team that you want to win, that you want to win with, do you know how far it goes to have guys who have won, who have tasted it? Because any guy who hasn't might think he has the hunger, but he doesn't truly know how good that fucking tastes. Guys like Freddie Freeman, Carlos Correa, once you have that victory, that's all you want. That's all you fucking think about. That's what you live for. We need to surround guys around Gerrit Cole, if we're going to win while he's in his prime, that have tasted it and that want it and live for it. And that's why Correa and fucking Freddie Freeman, adding them to this team, shit, I'll take it any day.
Yeah. Let's read some comments here. Joey Cobani.
Joey Cobani Gold.
He says, I think Olsen is the guy you go and get, and Rizzo should be the backup plan. Olsen is young, had a great season, great defender, solid hitter. I just don't see Freddie as a real possibility. I think he goes to the Braves or the Dodgers. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to disagree with you in a sense of I don't know how realistic Freddie Freeman is. It sounds like the Braves were definitely flirting with the idea, but I'm definitely, if it's going to come down to Rizzo or Olsen, I would definitely take Olsen over Rizzo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rizzo's fucking third on the list and by a large margin.
By a large margin. And again, I won't be disappointed. Another champion and a guy who I really think fits in here, but
I love Anthony Rizzo. I really do, dude. Like, in any other scenario, like, I would be ecstatic if he came back. But I just think that you have a chance to really change your team in two positions. And Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson can change your team in ways that I don't think Anthony Rizzo can.
Yeah, I agree.
I just mentioned this, so we'll read this comment. Vincent Mondry says, obviously it's Olson. I don't know, obviously, dude, but he says, but just sucks how much Voit has fallen out of favor with the fan base. He's done nothing but hit ... when he's been healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Talk Vin Talk Freeman, because he's the best player there and the Yankees should be acquiring the best player possible. Only takes money to get him. Olsen requires players that can be used to acquire pitching or center fielder.
Dead on.
All right, so let's close out with this, okay? I just want to get your take on it. We wanted to talk about it for like fucking an hour and a half.
Okay, yeah, because we're hour and 36, and I want to be with my wife because...
We are going to start banging.
Oh, okay. You already have 10 kids, so, okay.
No more kids.
I'm going to butcher his name, but, you know, that's me being a white guy from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Seiya Suzuki, he's going to be posted after the lockout, it apparently. He's 27 years old. His slash line was .317, .433, .636 last year. He hit 38 home runs in 134 games last year in Japan. It's because of the posting fee. He will command probably a deal around $55 million a year.
Did you see the tweet where I forget who it was? I would credit him if I remembered, comparing his 26 year season, you know, in his 26 year whatever age season, comparing him to Hideki Matsui. They're almost dead on in every way.
A report came out again right around the time of the lockout that the Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Yankees have been very aggressive in their pursuit of Suzuki. We know the Yankees need help in the outfield. He doesn't really profile as a center fielder. I guess the Yankees would either trade Gallo, which would mean Hicks would be the fucking center fielder, which blow my brains out, please. Or Gallo would play center field. Do you like this move? Like, if the Yankees go after this guy, are you okay with?
For sure. for sure. And like I said, I'm just bringing up the tweet. I'm not going to be able to find it, but I loved the comparison with Matsui and their same, you know, same age when they were in Japan coming off that season. It was so dead on. And if I can go back to one guy who just, I just think about a fuck as a fucking winner who came here and lit it up and lived up to everything we could have imagined, it's Hideki Matsui. And if you can find me a guy that's comparable and young and can play the outfield, I'm taking this kid. Look, tell me what options are out there that you're more confident in at this point.
Oh, I wouldn't say there are any, but I just think it's still a risk with a Japanese player because you never know how it's going to translate over here.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's translated pretty well.
I think the Yankees guys have
putting
had
up
better,
those numbers.
I think the Yankees have had better success because of Tanaka and Matsui that at the Yankees, but then there's fucking Keigawa. So
yeah, I mean, but yeah,
but I think.
Yeah, but if we're going to credit, I mean, Brian Cashman, for as shitty as he's been in some aspects, there's a lot of areas where you can say he's one of the best out there. One of them has been with international players, whether that be from, you know, DR or Japan. He's done a pretty good job. And when he takes that money and he spends it on guys, they usually, more times than not, I feel like, pan out for this team. And I wouldn't mind this move. I really wouldn't. Because there's no one else out there that really is exciting. And I don't think the risk is as high as you think.
In addition to getting Freddie Freeman and Carlos Correa.
Oh, absolutely. It better not be, you know, at the expense of them. I mean, you can't get this kid and then say, yeah, well, now we can't get those guys. Absolutely not.
Because you should be fucking curb stomped if you say that.
Right, absolutely.
All right. So, okay.
Didn't you want, I know we're running so fucking long. Didn't you want to bring up one more thing?
About Cuck Showalter?
With the Clappish story, yeah.
Allegedly. Allegedly, the Yankees, because Buck Showalter interviewed for the Mets job. I think
definitely
he's going to get it.
100%.
I think he's going to get it.
If I could put a bet on that, I would right now.
You might be able to. Go on DraftKings.
I might. I'm gonna look at it while you bring it up.
Allegedly, the Yankees were thinking about firing Boone mid-season and replacing him with Buck Showalter. I don't know how much I buy that because it seemed like the Yankees, if the Yankees wanted to fire Boone in August, they really didn't even try to make him think his job was in jeopardy.
Let me just put into context of how much this should be taken with a grain of salt. The person who tweeted this tweeted, Bob Clappish said the Yankees were thinking of hiring Buck Showalter in the summer. And then they tweeted a screenshot of a DM from supposedly from Bob Clappish, but they crop the picture so that you can't see who's sending the message. So it would seem as if he should have tweeted a source close to the organization said whatever, because if you're going to just go out and name who it was, why not show the screenshot of who sent you the message? And the message,
you got to hide. You can never reveal your sources.
But he does in the tweet is my point. So anyway, the message says, again, allegedly from Bob Clappish. Anyway, to catch you up, because, you know, they're pals, Buck Showalter had his Zoom interview with the Mets today. Everything I hear says he's the favorite to get the job. I wonder how close Buck came to replacing Boone last August. I'm told the internal debate was quite fierce before Hal decided to stay the course.
I don't doubt that there was a debate whether or not they should move on from Boone and hire Buck in October or November, or even saying that they had talked about that. I don't think they ever really got close to firing Aaron Boone during the season.
I just don't.
That I don't believe.
I don't see it. I don't. When they say like a fierce debate, internal debate, I don't see that being true. I really don't, because there was no hesitancy to hire
no hesitation
Boone,
whatsoever.
And it wasn't just a 1 year
him.
Contract. It was a
four fucking years.
Come on. So how was it a fierce fucking debate?
what honestly changed in, from August to October other than them being fucking embarrassed in the postseason?
If anything, the debate should have gotten more fierce. So I don't know. Take that with a grain of salt.
But I do, you know, I do definitely expect Buck to get the job. And only because I'm not saying Buck is the best candidate. He's the sexiest candidate. And, you know, King Stevie's all about the headlines right now.
Oh, yeah. That's all he ever is about.
You know, and fuck you, Steven Matz, because you fucking, you and your goddamn agent really pissed him off. And he's like, yo, I'm worth $14 billion, bitch. Look what I can do.
Yep.
All right. So today is, we're recording on December 8th. So if we look at the calendar here. All right. We'll do this real quick. Okay. Okay. We need Stat Guy right back. Okay.
Please stop yanking.
All right. So our next show, okay, will be the week of Christmas, the weekend of the 19th. That will be our last show for 2021. Okay. I have 10 days or so to figure it out. I want to do so. We should do something special for the last show of the year and the last show without the network,
absolutely.
We should do something special here.
We'll figure it out.
And judging on the way things are going, I doubt we'll have any real stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
I don't think anything's going to be resolved.
We'll make it fun. Okay.
So again, thank you very much for your continued support of the show. Please, please be on the lookout Saturday afternoon sometime for the big announcement, where we're going, who we're going to be with. Very excited about it. Please go to patreon.com/NYYST. Follow me on Twitter at Christian_NYYST. Where do they follow you?
At Chris_NYYST, I think.
We're not going to give the, we're changing the handle on the main account.
You want to talk about it? Should it just be at NYYST? Should it be at NYYST podcast?
Underscore podcast.
Underscore podcast. Okay, we'll talk about it.
I don't know. I think it just.
I kind of like NYYST. At NYYST. I kind of like that.
I don't know. It might be taken. We could look into it.
We'll look into it.
Okay. So the handle on the main account will be changing in the next few days, but definitely, you know, follow the fellas. Okay. Okay.
The fellas.
All right. Thank you for listening to episode 261. Okay. You're Mickey Mantle, for Christ's sake.
Mickey Mantle, for Christ. What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
All right, Chris. Say goodbye.